time for our Friday panel, and we're joined by two members of Leitrim County Council this week to discuss the issues of relevance. Sinn Féin Councillor Pádraig Fallon from Drumcairn and Fine Gael Councillor Sean McDermott from Glenfarn. Good morning to you both, gentlemen, and thank you for joining us on the Friday panel. And, you know, there's a lot of reaction, coming in relation to what Mark McSharry said about his party leader, asking him to stand down when his term as Taoiseach ends. And it strikes me, of course, that both of you are of parties which are now, by far and away, the two most popular political parties in the country. And Fine Gael still ahead of Sinn Féin in the polls. What are your reflections on that, Sean McDermott, in general, the latest poll this week? Are you happy where Fine Gael is at the moment?
Actually, look, at opinion polls come and go, and again, you know, they're a snapshot at a particular time, and you know, you'd always like to be high in the opinion polls, but that's not always possible. And certainly, when you you're at the coalface of government, it can be a bigger problem. And you know, I'm Sinn Féin there now, they're in a good position, there's no doubt about that. And you know, but you know, these things can change very quickly, and you know, you can be at the top one moment, and my team, I support Liverpool, were at the top there for many months, and all of a sudden they're gone. You know, so how do you explain that? So it can be a bit like that as well.
All right, okay, but you don't see Leo Varadkar having any of the problems that Jurgen Klopp has of late.
Not at the moment.
All right, okay. So happy enough. I think it's 30% in the latest polls. Happy enough with that, you would say, considering in government.
Yeah.
Okay, Pádraig Fallon, what about yourself? And you know, we were reflecting. I think it was last week. It was 1 year since the election. The argument could be made. I don't know. I mean, greater minds than me will know more, that if you had run two candidates, you could have delivered two candidates in Sligo Leitrim. Maybe.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, no doubt about it. And hindsight is 2020 vision, I guess. I would assume that we will be running more candidates. The likelihood is, I'd imagine, that there will be two candidates in the constituency of Sligo Leitrim, North Donegal and South Roscommon, or North Roscommon, sorry. And, you know, we will certainly be looking at it. That would be the ambition, there's no doubt about that. We would be hopeful and looking at taking two seats. As Sean said, I suppose, so these are only polls, and I suppose they do offer a little comfort when you're polling well, but they are only a poll. And I guess for me, or for us within Sinn Féin, what we find interesting about them is the fact that over a number of polls, the last five or six, we do seem to be consolidating a position there. So, you know, hopefully that will be with us on polling day. That's the thing. It's all, as Sean said there, it's on polling day.
Yeah, and if it is, I mean, I think most people are of the opinion now that it's a case of when and not if Sinn Féin are in government. You obviously, I presume, look forward to that day, but is it logical to expect that Sinn Féin will form part of the next government whenever that election is?
Well, look, honestly, I hope so. I certainly would like to see that. Obviously, I would want to see Sinn Féin in government. And I suppose, really, you know, we've quite a number of very good performers there, TDs. I mean, for example, you know, I would say, and I've said to many, and I say to constituents and the public when I meet them on the street, I would say to them, you know, who wouldn't want to see Piers Doherty, for example, as Minister for Finance?
Right, okay. We've a number of specific questions coming in for both of you, which we'll get to in due course. Let's deal with the Living with COVID plan announced by Micheál Martin. Was it Tuesday evening? Are you living with COVID, Sean McDermott, and are you coping, and do you think the government are handling this in the correct way?
You know, there always can be improvements, and I know that it has been a difficult year, and you know, You would always you don't like to see people, you know, the number of people that has died over the last 12 months it's serious. And I suppose the way I look at it is, I think that we took our foot off the ball, I think, last end of last year, leading up to Christmas, where the country opened up again. And in fairness, I think politicians were becoming under pressure. I know, talking to politicians, there was vested interest groups putting a lot of pressure to open up the country for Christmas. And I know a lot of people are coming home, and Christmas is a time of people getting together. But, you know, we paid a big price for that. And you know, a lot of people in a three-week period, I think we nearly lost 1,000 people to death.
Yeah.
That's shocking. And I think that my fear is going forward is that when we, I know the vaccine is there and good work has been there. I know it has been slow at times. But the danger is that we loosen up again because we think we have the vaccine is there in front of us. And we get loose and we could be another factor. And I'd be very, very much fearful of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you see, you say that, but I know a lot of people are of the opinion that they didn't loosen up over Christmas, and they hear about all these parties that were had and gatherings and family occasions. A lot of people didn't engage in that, and then they're being told that everyone went mad over Christmas and broke the rules, but not everybody did.
Well, there was a spike. There had to be a reason for the spike in numbers after Christmas. Like, let's be fair about this.
Right, okay. Pádraig, what did you make of me? Are you impressed with Micheál Martin's handling of this and the government's handling of this crisis or not?
Well, to be honest, to a degree, I suppose, to be fair to them, it is a difficult time. And I suppose there were an awful lot of unknowns. However, we're 12 months into this scenario now. And, you know, It is really tough on those living alone. It's in particular it's tough on our older population, but it's also very tough on younger people. You know, that age group, the teenagers and those in their 20s, I suppose. You know, because I'll look back at what we done, I suppose, when we were in that age group ourselves. You know, that's what I'd say. We're social beings. Mm. It's been particularly tough on those who have lost loved ones, whether they died with COVID or without. You know, in particular when you think, you know, the numbers allowed to go to funerals and attend ceremonies and the like. And, you know, it's really heartbreaking. We'll all have known a number of families where they've lost loved ones over the last 12 months. And it's been very difficult for them. And it hasn't helped the grieving process. The only thing I would say, really, where I do have an issue, and you'll have seen it being raised in the Dáil, I suppose, over a number of months at this stage, is that our government has voted against mandatory hotel quarantine for non-essential travel for people coming into the country. You know, I think I would assume, I'm no expert on COVID, you know, let's be clear about that, but I would imagine that is something that should be done and that it would help in particular with the new variants arising. And there have been a number of those, I suppose, now since Christmas, you know. So I think that measure should be brought in. And I honestly don't know why it's not being brought in.
Okay. Just before we move on from that issue, you were, just to pick up on one thing you were saying about Piers Doherty, you think everybody would agree who would make a great finance minister. This person saying that Piers Doherty might be good in opposition, but in power it is always different. Would you think that could be the case as well? That it's a lot easier in opposition, look, obviously, than when you're at the coalface.
Well, look, I will acknowledge that, and obviously the role does change when you'd be a minister. There's no doubt about that, and when you'd be in government. However, I think you know, he has set out his stall, and he has done, you know, for every budget there are pre-budget submissions done by Pierce and the party, and you know, I think they are logical and sensible positions. You know, I mean, if you look at the work he has done around the insurance industry and banking alone, you know. So I think, you know, Pierce, I believe, would hold those positions. And I think, you know, he's somebody who has great ability. There's no doubt about that. But he's also somebody who is practical and has a degree of common sense.
Right. Okay. This person says, I'm hoping this discussion is taking place via telephone and not a number of people gathered in the studio. We are being advised not to meet up indoors. Is this essential? Well, I can tell you, Pádraig Fallon is in his kitchen, I think, having coffee. Isn't that right, Pádraig? And Sean McDermott is sitting in front of a map. You're like Angela Merkel there with all the charts behind you there, Sean.
It's a map of the road system in North Leitrim.
Oh, is that it? Okay, well, that's more important than any European Union policy. So rest assured, listener, we're on Zoom call with our two colleagues from Leitrim County Council. We were talking earlier, Sean McDermott, about commercial vacancy rates and how the rates in County Sligo in particular are so high. And the chief executive of Geodirectory, who brought out the report, mentioned the east-west divide and how the east-west divide, unfortunately, is getting wider. And I know there's something you feel strongly about, and I raise this in the context of the one-off housing, ongoing difficulties in rural areas. It still is a problem.
It is, Niall, and Pádraig's very much aware of it too. And you know, we work together, all councillors and all parties and no parties, to be quite honest. We have common touch on this, and it has been there for quite a while, and it's there for 10 years. It's not going away, and I'm more fearful now than I ever was, because I think there's people walking out there, coming up with solutions. For the rural parts of a county like Leitrim. And I think the agenda is to have practically no housing, one-off rural housing in a county like Leitrim.
Yeah, whose agenda? Who are you talking about?
It's people with clout in important places. Right round. It's not any spectrum. It's quite wide. And I'm convinced of that. And you know this, I think the people of Leitrim need to be told what the plans are for rural Leitrim. Let's tell the people of what the plans are in the background. Bring them forward. And I think people in the rural areas should have a say in how their future is going to be shaped. Are we going to have the likes of the people, the young people, boys and girls that done the green cert and farming, but they can't live in their own area or get a site from their father? Mm. That's a shocking thing. I know we have to protect the environment and climate change. But you know, I don't think the way we're heading, you know, communities won't survive without people. But we're in fairness, we are getting lots of money. You have Clare program, you have Leader program, town and village, and we can go on and party. We work together at Leitrim County Council, making sure our communities get money. Mm. But the you know, you need people to make this happen.
Okay.
Unfortunately, some of our communities are falling apart, you know?
Okay. Pádraig Fallon, would you agree with Sean on that point or not before I make a counter?
And as Sean has said, we do in this municipal and across county work together on this issue, and we're constantly trying to progress it. It's very frustrating. I believe, and I've said this, and I think Sean would agree, I believe that there are options out there. There are solutions, you know. Mm. I most definitely believe that there are. And, you know, it's particularly frustrating for younger couples. You know, we will all know, and I know that Sean knows, because me and Sean have talked about this over the last number of years. We all know families. So in some cases, members of our own family looking or thinking about returning to Ireland, and they want to come back to County Leitrim, you know. Mm. And they can't, you know, unless they avail of a property in an urban setting. And, you know, it's a great thing for a family if they have, for example, to be able to give a site to a son or daughter on the family farm. You know, it's a start. It's a very significant start to those.
Okay.
But planning, for the most part, in County Leitrim doesn't allow that as an option. What's really frustrating here, and myself and Sean spoke about this, as did other councillors at a recent council meeting a number of months ago, I had a constituent contact me. He lives in the northern end of this municipal, and there's a country road, what could be described as a boring, you know, and the far side of that road is in County Donegal. Now, there's very little or no differ in the soil or the land there. I would say none. But, you know, he has a site there in County Leitrim. The far side of the road is in County Donegal. And there's a house being built the far side of the road, but he cannot get planning in Leitrim. And this arises all around us. We I have heard Frank Dolan, Councillor Dolan, for example, say the same about out in the manor where it borders County Sligo, you know. So I believe the solutions are there, and hopefully we will see a solution. There is a lot of work being done on it.
Maybe one of you can answer this question. This person says, if it's so difficult to come home and set up house and home in Leitrim, why then there are so many vacant houses in the county?
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, I remember one night there recently, traveling a road, 3 miles of a road down in Glenavon, and I could see it was late at night, dark, but I could see 15 unoccupied houses. Now, some of them wouldn't have been people living in 50 years, but if you had 3 to 5 of them houses back into life, and that would make an awful difference. But you know, Niall, we talk a lot about saving the planet. If tomorrow morning there was a directive that no one-off rural housing in Leitrim would take place, stop the whole lot, that wouldn't save the planet. Because to be quite honest, we are not responsible. In fairness, a very small percentage of where we find ourselves with the environment, protecting the environment, originated from rural areas like Leitrim. So we're paying a big price for a problem that we didn't create. And that needs to be sorted out. And to be honest, Niall, in the future generations will never forgive us what's been planned for at the moment. If we haven't, there's always, you always have a mix of town and village and one-off rural housing. But the day that we lose the one-off rural housing, I think it's a bad day's work.
Okay, so you're not out to upset Eamon Ryan and his Green Party then in your suggestion?
I don't want a platter of houses all over the place, flooding the countryside with one-off rural houses. It doesn't need to happen.
Right. Okay. A couple of questions, specific questions coming in. Somebody wants to know from Pádraig Fallon about the X-ray. I'm trying to find the exact question. The X-ray unit at Our Lady's Hospital in Manor Hamilton. Can Pádraig give us any information on that and when it's likely to return? Is it? Was it there once? Was that the situation? Or
well, it's almost gone now, 2 years, and I had a motion on this approximately 18 months ago, I would say, at Municipal District. I've asked Deputy Kinney to engage with the Minister on the issue, and he did again even there just approximately a month ago. And I've seen the reply that he received. And what it received, the reply basically stated, this was from the minister saying that the HSE would contact him directly. Now, the HSE, this is almost a month ago, still haven't contacted Deputy Kinney's office directly. And in fact, I asked Deputy Kinney last week to go back to the HSE and see what is their reply and what is going on here. We need this service. Manor Hamilton is a great facility. It's an excellent hospital, excellent staff, but we need to see this reinstalled here. There has been work done there. I know there was an issue almost 2 years ago regarding staff. I believe that staff were hired. So let's get this facility up and running. We have patients in Manor Hamilton, and when they require x-rays, they have to travel to Sligo or maybe Donegal to get those x-rays done, and that is not right. I will actually be putting down a motion again at the Municipal District in March.
All right, okay. All right, hopefully that answers that question. Sean, a question for you before we move on. Can you please stop going on about rural Ireland? I lived in England, and in my time in England, I never once heard a radio discussion on about rural England. I think you books, that's you and Pádraig, I think you books need to get out more and realise that the majority of young people don't want to be living in rural areas, and those who live there won't budge in the first place. Sean, is that the case or not?
Not the case, and that's been proven, and I suppose the COVID situation has proved that. But long before COVID hit Ireland, more and more people wanted to come home. But we can't facilitate them. If you can't live in your rural area, well, then there's not much point coming home. So that argument doesn't stand up, right?
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I don't believe it does either, to be honest with you, because you know, if you talk to, and I've talked to a number of them over the last number of months, if you talk to any auctioneer, they are inundated here in the northwest and in Leitrim with persons looking for properties in County Leitrim. Inundated.
Well, I was just going to make that point because anecdotally what I'm hearing is that the demand for housing, not only in Leitrim but in Donegal and Sligo, is at an all-time high because seemingly the whole move towards remote working has convinced people to move from the east or to try and move from the east and seek out property in the west. So it's a I don't know if it's a case of be careful what you wish for, but there could be an influx of people, councillors, into Leitrim before too long.
Well, I don't know. I suppose really where what we want to see here and what I want to see, and we do welcome new people into the county, no doubt about that, but we want to see those that come from the county being able to return to it first and foremost. And I think, you know, that really is the essence of the argument around rural housing here. Yeah. There are stipulations, and Sean is well aware of this as well, around planning and a connection to an area as well in the planning guidelines.
Right, okay. Well, Sean, I suppose if you want to attract more people to the area and you want to encourage those originally from Leitrim to come home and reside there, you need jobs and you need investment. Is there anything encouragement from your... Do you see any increase in this regard?
In fairness, the council need a lot of investment in the country and work very closely with the communities. I think infrastructure plays a big part where people are inclined to come in, where companies are inclined to come in, say in the likes of a town of Marrahamton, which is the capital of North Leitrim.
Yeah,
you need a good infrastructure for that to happen. I know there's lots of jobs in Marrahamton, and that's great for the area and surrounding areas, to be honest. But I always believed in Niall. One of the biggest problems in the area that we had in this cross-border corridor from Belfast to Galway, which would be coming up the middle of North Leitrim. But sadly, we never had the clout in years gone by to make that happen. And that's very, very, very important. But nowadays, in fairness, you know, I remember when I was chairperson of the council in 2014, mooting the idea that we should have workspace in the likes of Drumahair and Kinnock. And I know that we have a small amount of workspace in my own community in Fern. Marrahamton needs more workspace as well. But now we are talking about hubs, which would be great, and some of them digitalize hubs in our communities. Mm. That will keep the people on the ground rather than having to race to cities where there's gridlock in the mornings and evenings coming from work. I think more and more of that is going to happen now, and that will be good for rural Leitrim.
Okay, there's some very, very interesting comments coming in from our listeners. Porrick, maybe you'd like to take this one. I've been listening with great interest to the discussion this morning in rural housing, but the people the councillors talk about, they just want the big house in the country, but they won't support their local schools or their local shops. They'll drive 10k or more to access them. And they're passing the local shop and the small school. And it's important that they, if they live in an area, that they support it as well. Any thoughts on that?
Well, there's no doubt that it is important that they live, that those that live in our communities here in Leitrim and across the Northwest support those communities. You know, that they buy as much as they can in the local shop, in the butchers, whatever, that, you know, they get their fuel at the local filling station and all those things. It's my experience, though, that the vast majority of those that have returned to the county, and there haven't been an awful lot, that they do support those enterprises and the schools, for example, here in rural Leitrim.
Right, okay. Sean, yeah.
These facilities will definitely close if there aren't more people. That's the other side of that.
Sean, do you want to respond to that?
I would agree with Porrick there because in our own case, when the building boom was on, there was no housing estates built in Glenfarne, but there was individual houses built in the area. And people came into the area that had no ties to the area because there was a house available in Glenfarne, a one-off rural house. Now, I can see them people and have made contributions to the local economy and to the school and to the shops in the area. So they do make a difference, people that come into an area. And by and large, maybe some people don't want to get involved in their communities, but by and large, people get involved and make a difference. Yeah.
Right, okay. This person, lots of questions coming in this week. This person wants to know the panel's views about broadband in Leitrim or lack of broadband in Leitrim. Which of you wants to address that one?
Well, I don't mind if you want. I suppose I can give a number of examples. You know, when you look at this in the context, I suppose, of where we are now, but also in the context of employment for the county, you know, it's a major issue. There are, we see it now, you know, there are, for example, even here in this household, there are children doing homeschooling. I'm here doing this with you, but we also hold our council meetings and many other meetings online. And broadband is an issue. It's an issue in particular in some of our more rural settings. But even here, for example, in Drumcairn, we have an exchange. So we do up the street from me, not 100 metres. Mm. And there are lines from that exchange passing by houses, but not bringing them broadband. And it's passing by houses to others bringing that broadband. So, you know, we need to see investment in our infrastructure. Sean said this earlier. You know, we need to see investment, not just in broadband, but it is critical, but also our road network here in the Northwest. Infrastructure is the biggest impediment to job creation here in Leitrim and the Northwest.
Okay, right. Sean, a quick word on the broadband situation before we move on.
Look, broadband is improving, but at a very slow pace. And definitely, as Padraig says there, you know, more and more people can work from home if you have the infrastructure, and also broadband is part of that. And it is improving, and more and more people can work from home. But we need to up our game in the rural areas where you have the black spots.
Right, okay. Yeah, this person says, I'm sure couples with kids would prefer to rear their kids in Leitrim than in the middle of big cities. Cities are just not good for young people growing up. They have to play football and hurling in their backyard. Lots of space to do that in a county like Leitrim. Someone else says, the small schools are going to close if local people don't support them. Bigger schools with no space and oversized classes, and the small school has so much to offer, and we need to keep that in mind. And I'm using this terminology from the listener. It's not my question, it's from a listener. Do Sean and Padraig not agree that it's the Green Party that are ruining rural Ireland? This caller has called the Green Party the new black and tans, which is a more than unfair.
I think that's a bit harsh, to be quite honest.
Yeah, well, it is very harsh.
I think I do, because, to be quite honest, you know, we have people, I suppose, in the Green Party in our rural areas as well. A lot of them live, I know people that would be sympathising towards the Green Party. I work with them. And I think that, you know, these people that are involved in the Green Party that live in rural Leitrim, they have to see the problems the same way as myself and Padraig sees them, like, and find solutions to these problems. And that's about keeping the areas alive. Because if we lose our rural areas because of lack of people, where do we end up? Do we want just a couple of super towns in the county? That's not the way to go forward.
Okay. I know you're going to say you are the real Green Party, Padraig, probably.
No, on some issues, Niall.
For a different reason. What would your response be to that listener?
Well, look, I don't know. I suppose I look at that in a different context, to be honest with you, Niall. There are policies, Green Party policies, that do concern me, in particular, I suppose, you know, around, for example, turf and timber and that kind of thing, you know. And in some instances, I would say they have put the cart before the horse. However, I would say that these decisions are taken at cabinet level. A minister may bring them and may bring these ideas and suggestions to the cabinet, and I'm sure Minister Ryan does. However, there are other ministers around that table, and these decisions are basically taken, as we've heard so often during this pandemic, you know, these decisions are taken collectively. So I would say that it's not just the Green Party.
Right, OK, we have a couple of minutes left, and we usually like to ask our panellists at this juncture what they miss most about lockdown. What are they looking forward to doing whenever lockdown ends, whenever that will be? I'll start with you, Sean. No doubt there's little or no dancing in the ballroom or anywhere else at the moment.
There's no dancing. I suppose one of the things I miss most is calling the people, going into people's homes, and I'd go in for 5 minutes to a house, and I'd be there for an hour. That's I'd be talking and yapping away.
Rambling, is it? Is it rambling?
That's part of it. That was the tradition in the rural areas down through the years. And I love listening to the stories, and you learn so much from listening to people. But I suppose the buzz in the rainbow, I do miss it. You're missing about dancing. Now, dancing was never any good, and I notice social dancing in the rainbow. Of course, they're not taking place now, but they have. I think that they see a problem with me dancing. They put me in the kitchen making tea now, and I think that's my future, I think.
Right. Okay. There's no virtual dancing. We haven't missed out on anything on social media, have we? Or
No. Not yet. But the rainbow is working on that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. You haven't been.
I haven't been headhunted yet. Now.
No. Jerusalem challenge with you in it or anything out there. No.
That's been talked about.
Is it? Right. Okay. Porrick, what about yourself? What do you miss most?
Oh, look, really, Niall, it's the simple things, you know. I suppose it's the human interaction. There's no doubt about that, as Sean has said, you know, the human interaction is what's missed most. I miss the football, the GAA, and a few pints afterwards, maybe, and meeting friends and having a yarn or a laugh. In particular, I suppose, also, really family, and it's quite difficult, as we've said, for those of us with family abroad, and that, you know, they weren't able to return at Christmas or can't return for family occasions, let there be birthday parties of parents or whatever, you know. But I suppose, having said that, you know, I am conscious that we're very fortunate, you know, to live where we live, to live in such a wonderful part of the country. And I suppose, you know, I'm really grateful for that. And we are lucky in that sense.
Right. And a very final question, because I'm curious to know about St. Patrick's Day a couple of weeks away. What will you do, Sean, for St. Patrick's Day, if anything, or what can you do?
I didn't hear that, Niall. Sorry about that.
I'm just wondering if you've got any plans for St. Patrick's Day. I mean, usually we're planning parades and trips abroad and all sorts of celebrations. Have you considered what you might do for our national holiday this year?
I don't. Well, I certainly will go for a walk down the Greenway in the Barn or down the wood, to get me out every day, but that doesn't happen. She goes out most days, and some of the family might want my young fellow might be down for fly, but the two girls are out of the country, so it'll be quiet. And I suppose, you know, leading up into Easter, I suppose, as well, are we going to have church ceremonies because of the lockdown? You know, it's something that's going to be, I suppose, has to be discussed.
Yeah, okay. We didn't get most of that, but I think you're saying you're doing very little. What about you, Borg? Have you thought about it yet? Or?
Well, look, to be honest about it, I haven't really thought about it, but I'd imagine we'll definitely market it in some way here in the house and at home. But I suppose generally that time of year for me is a busy period of time on the farm, as it is for many. Most of that day, I'd imagine I will be looking at sheep, and we will be lambing, and hopefully we'll have some nice weather around that time, and that it'll be going well.
Yeah, hopefully. And very finally, sorry.
You want I could be looking for a pet lamb, Porrick, maybe, you know?
That's all right, yeah.
You can sort that out after we're finished. Finally, this person says, it's great to listen to a debate where the two contributors listen to one another, no shouting over one another. It's very refreshing. Good men, I'm proud of you both. But sure, that's the way it always is at Leitrim County Council meetings, lads, isn't it? Never any.
Yeah.
No, most definitely it is. I suppose, look, I think we both and all of the councillors in Leitrim would have the best interests of Leitrim at heart. And we may come from different political parties, and we do disagree on some topics, you know. But we will argue our points when we meet with each other. But we do work well together, and even myself and Sean and myself and other councillors on individual basis. And collectively, here in this municipal and in the county. You know, we work on issues together. We definitely do.
Sinn Féin and Fine Gael could be in government maybe one day. Well, are you saying you would like to see that happen?
It's quite possible, and you know, like
I don't think it is. But none of your eminent senior members are saying it's possible. Are you saying it's possible?
Oh, look, at in the future, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, not at all, because things, you know, before elections, people say things, and you know, when the people vote, you know, it throws different scenarios into the mix, and who knows.